Fallout Equestria Starlight, Chapter 29, Born of Destiny. Do I look like a big squirrel? Foalhood. New life. I don't pretend to know too much about the subject, to be quite honest. As far as I can remember, I never was a foal myself. If I had been, my memories would at least give me something to work with. I often find myself wondering, what was I like before Unity? Was I different before I became an Alicorn? I've been like this for so long now that I can't even consider anything else. I wish I knew. The only memories I seem to have of the deep past are of Twilight. I can remember only bits and pieces, but a particular memory of a young filly in Canterlot learning magic beneath the gentle hoofs of the princess rings quite clear through the void of my mind. How did such a wonderful, bright, and talented pony become the ministry mare that guided Equestria on its path to destruction? Was the war truly so corrupting that even the innocence of foalhood was tainted by its influence? The old adage that war never changes certainly rang true for Equestria. War did, however, change us. We changed into a race born into a destiny of hate and balefire. We were destined for destruction from the get-go. We're only waiting for it to take us away from this land of insanity and death.
Patch!
I shouted, throwing my weight underneath the ailing mare and lifting her onto my back. I looked up at Sunshine.
We need to get her to a doctor. Follow me,
Sunshine simply replied, motioning to the door. I followed behind her, Patch being held in place by my remaining good wing on one side and Steeljack on the other. The stallion had a concerned look on his face as he kept his gaze solely locked on his laugh. We shuffled into the tiny elevator, leaving the others to get our things ready to go. Patch groaned as she tried to turn over on my back. I grimaced, lighting my horn and using my magic to secure her in place.
Let me down,
she whispered softly.
I'm fine.
No, you're not fine, Patch, I said sternly. You're not well at all. Don't worry, we're taking you to see a doctor.
The fool,
Patch said hoarsely. I grimaced. Did that have something to do with what was going on? Was the foal all right, or was her body rejecting it and causing a reaction? I didn't know for sure. I was not smart when it came to these kinds of things. I sighed as the elevator came to a stop and we funneled into the main lobby. Ponies were still cleaning up, but for the most part the tenants of the tower were back out in full force. We received all sorts of looks as we marched forward. I didn't care. All I wanted was to make sure my friend was all right. The primary physician's office came into view, and I flung the door open, stepping inside to a very bewildered-looking receptionist.
Doctor, now!
I said angrily. The receptionist nodded frantically, motioning for us to follow her. We made our way down the hallway, pushing our way into a tiny room with a bed in it. I laid Patch down on the bed carefully with my magic. The green mare groaned and grunted, rolling over as the door behind us opened, revealing the doctor, a tan unicorn. I understand that you needed to see me, he said. I glared at him.
It's my friend. She's not feeling well,
I said, motioning to Patch. The doctor stepped up next to the green mare, placing a hoof to his chin. Patch rolled over and the doctor sighed. His horn lit up, bathing the mare in a soft light. Within several seconds, she was beginning to snore. The light covered my friend for several minutes more before retracting. I raised an eyebrow hopefully. Your friend is experiencing some form of negative reaction related to her pregnancy. To be honest, Miss Starr, I'm no expert at this sort of thing. I've applied a sedation spell to help her sleep, but she needs to rest and recuperate. I'm sorry, I'm not an obstetrician. I'm not sure what else we can do here, he said softly. I stamped a hoof angrily.
That's not good enough, I said. You said yourself you're not an expert at this. We need an expert. We need dry rot.
And what do you plan on doing? Bring him here? Dryrod is a ghoul. His kind is prohibited within Ten Pony Tower,
the doctor replied casually. Before I could respond, he lifted the hoof to continue speaking.
Conversely, your friend is in no shape to be moved. She needs rest. Moving her is only going to make her condition worse.
Sitting around here waiting for her to get worse isn't going to help either, I shouted.
I became actually aware of the fact that the door had opened behind us and the others had filtered inside the tiny hospital room. I didn't care. I wanted to save my friend. She couldn't get worse. If she got worse, she could die. And it would be my fault. I'd already had enough deaths on my hoofs. Images of dusk blue exploding ran through my mind.
No,
I thought.
I can't be responsible for any more deaths. Dusk, all of those ponies who died in the battle. No matter what any pony says. I made that happen. That was my fault.
She needs proper medical attention, the doctor argued, his voice edging closer and closer to anger. I growled under my breath.
And what exactly have you been giving her?
I snarled.
Star, that's enough,
Violet said softly, stepping up next to me and placing a hoof on my shoulder.
I know you're angry, but yelling at him isn't going to solve anything.
Thank you, the doctor said, straightening his smock. I'm glad some pony here sees reason. Violet glared at him. The doctor gulped loudly.
Oh, I agree with Star, Violet said casually. Your medical care has been rather lacking. You have no pony on staff that knows anything about pregnant mares. I'm amazed you managed to even reproduce. Or do you do it asexually by budding like other lesser organisms?
The doctor huffed loudly. I never, he said. Fine, take your friend, do whatever you want. She can stay here for as long as you would like. We will not deny her care, no matter how rude you are. The doctor turned and pushed open the door. I glanced down at Patch. The green mare was quite profoundly asleep. Our loud outbursts thankfully hadn't awoken her. I sighed and looked at the others. Steeljack was standing on the other side of the mare.
I think we should take her to see Dr. Dryrot, he said softly.
My eyes widened.
She's only going to get better if we know what's happening, and he's bound to know what is going on if he's any good at this stuff.
I agree, Violet said. However, some of us should stay behind here. We can't ignore our obligations to the ponies here completely. Only a few of us can go and take Patch, while some of us stay behind to help with repairs and anything that could be needed.
The others nodded in agreement.
It's decided then, I said, pointing a hoof at Sunshine. Sunshine, you know the city fairly well. Do you know where Duskhoof is?
It's deeper in the city, the mayor replied. It's located inside an old Ministry of Peace hospital. Duskhoof is... it's a ghoul settlement. They've been isolationists for quite some time.
I see. I suppose then we shouldn't try to scare them too badly, I said, placing a hoof to my chin.
Steeljack coughed, interrupting my train of thought.
If it's all the same to you, I'll be coming, he said. I'm not going to leave Patch, not now.
I nodded.
I sort of expected that, I said, smiling softly. I will go as well. I'm seeing this through to the end.
We can probably rig up something so that you can just carry her, Violet said, glancing down at the sleeping mare.
Either way, I'm going to stay behind. My medical spells can probably help around here given the questionable quality of medical care they have been giving ponies.
I wish to stay as well,
Nixie said. The hellhound lumbered in the corner of the small room.
My strength and claws may be of some assistance.
Lilith nodded.
I am coming with you,
she said, bristling her wings as she looked down sadly at her friend.
I want to help as best as I can.
I smiled softly.
All right, Sunshine, Steeljack and Lilith will accompany me to Duskhoof, I proclaimed. Once we have Patch better, we'll return.
The others filed out of the room one by one until it was just Steeljack and myself. The dark gray stallion grimaced as I looked down upon the mare he loved. She was sleeping peacefully at least. I reminded myself silently to ask the doctor nicely if he could recast the sedation spell before we left. It would make things much easier if Patch wasn't trying to climb off my back.
Star?
Steeljack asked. I looked up at him, cocking an eyebrow.
Are we sure everything's going to be all right?
He didn't look good. His mane was ragged and I could tell that he was nearing his breaking point. I lifted a hoof, placing it on the stallion's shoulder. A smile crept along my face as I remembered an old rhyme that Twilight had once said.
Cross my heart, hope to fly, stick a cupcake in my eye, I said, miming the motions of the pinky promise. I will do everything in my power to see Patch get better, Steeljack. Now go on, get your things together. I'll be along shortly so we can get something rigged up.
The stallion hesitated for a moment, almost not daring to leave his love's sight. Finally, he relented, nodding as he brushed past me and exited the room, leaving me alone with the sleeping mare. I sighed and looked down at her.
You were wrong,
I said to the air.
I am to blame for all of this, for letting Discord out, for the battle, for Dusk Blue, and for you. I wish it wasn't true, but it is.
I hung my head over the sleeping earth pony.
I'm sorry, I'm so sorry. If I had been stronger, you wouldn't be like this, you wouldn't be sick.
But she is sick, I thought.
Something's gone wrong with her pregnancy, she's sick and possibly dying, and it's all your fault.
I stood, groaning. The road ahead was not going to be pleasant. But I had to do something. I wasn't going to let Patch die. I was going to do what I could do to save her life. I turned, determined to keep moving forward, pushing open the door and heading into the hallway. I stopped by the receptionist's desk, letting her know that we would be returning to retrieve Patch and to see if the doctor could renew the sedation spell. I made my way back into Ten Pony proper, trudging along amidst the high and mighty elite of Wasteland Society. I was so lost in my thoughts I didn't notice almost running into a familiar unicorn. I tripped over myself, nearly tumbling into him as I came to rest on the ground.
You are right, Sir Star, Captain Kirby said.
I glanced up.
I'm okay,
I said softly, grunting as I pushed myself back to my hoofs. Kirby extended a hoof of his own, helping me get up all the way.
Thanks.
You look distraught, Kirby said. Is something wrong?
I hung my head, looking away from him.
It's Patch. She's not doing well,
I said.
We're getting ready to take her to a doctor in Duskhoof. He's supposed to be an expert on pregnancies.
Kirby's eyes widened.
I thought that something like that was going on, he said calmly. If you'd like, I can send along any troops you might need to get you to this place. Anything I can do for Patch.
I shook my head.
No need. We should be fine. I'm worried about her, I said. She collapsed in our room, and the doctors here don't even know why. I fear I've caused more harm to her than good.
Kirby cocked an eyebrow at this. He motioned for me to sit down next to him at a nearby table.
Star, you've got to get a grip on yourself. What happened to Patch is not your fault, he said. I need you to trust me on this. Now, what did the doctors say exactly?
I sighed.
They want us to leave her here, but this doctor in Duskhoof, he might be able to help her. I have to take the chance, Kirby. I can't let Patch die, I said. I've got to do something.
Kirby nodded.
I understand. If you need anything, Star, please let me know. It was by your hoofs that we were able to end this silly conflict, and I will do whatever I can to lend aid, he said.
Thank you, I said softly. How are things going with the effort to restore order?
Well, better than we'd hoped. The Twilight Society has been working rather closely with some of our top scientists to get a better understanding of Celestia One. They've been quite accommodating, Kirby said. Much more than I'd hoped for. In return, we're helping them care for any of the refugees and helping to restore building efforts.
That sounds pretty amazing, actually, I said, blinking. I wish I could have helped more. I feel like I've been so helpless since things went to shit.
Star, you've helped us all in a big way. By defeating Dusk Blue, you lifted the veil on the rest of us,
Kirby said, resting hoof on my shoulder.
We all appreciate what you did.
I grimaced.
I don't,
I said softly.
All I did was get a bunch of ponies killed. I was responsible for Discord and for Dusk Blue.
From what I hear, Dusk Blue was a bad egg all around anyways. You didn't cause him. He chose to be the way he was, and that was something you couldn't change,
the unicorn replied.
Now, I'm holding you up. I'm sure you have to get ready for your journey. Remember what I said, though. If you need anything, just let me know.
I nodded.
I will. Thanks,
I said as the unicorn stood and made his way back into the throng of ponies. I grunted, standing myself and stretching out my neck. I made my way back to the elevator and up to our room, where it looked like Steeljack, Lilith, and Sunshine were all ready to go.
Let's get moving.
We stepped out onto the lunar line, the midday sun resting comfortably above our heads as we walked. Thanks to the doctors having an old stretcher, we were able to fashion together a crude harness that strapped to my back. Patch lay inside of the harness, secured so that she couldn't roll out. My wings itched from the leather straps as well as the bandages that covered my damaged wing. It was just as well that I couldn't use it. I wasn't relishing the thought of having to fly with Patch lying on my back. The man in question shifted a bit in her makeshift bed before murmuring in her sleep. I breathed a sigh of relief that the doctors were able to recast the sedation spell before we left. Even if the one doctor was giving us a stink eye the whole time, he still allowed us to leave. I couldn't understand why he cared so much, but then I remembered that he was a doctor. That meant he was supposed to care for his patients regardless of what he could actually do for them. He was only looking out for Patch's well-being. I grimaced as I let my mind wander. Were we doing the right thing? What if Dry Rot couldn't help her?
Based on my knowledge of the city, Duskhoof is... this way, Sunshine said, interrupting my train of thought as she pointed off to the left.
The hospital is deeper in, a little closer to the Balefire crater, but not in any of the danger zones. The ghouls that live there visit the crater occasionally for radiation healing.
Have you ever been there before? Lilith asked, cocking an eyebrow.
I haven't. No, Sunshine replied. I've only ever been outside of the Twilight Society a very few times. Duskblue, he...
I grimaced even more. I knew what Duskblue wanted Sunshine for. He had been planning on using her body to bring Twilight's spirit back into this world with the resurrection spell. The same spell that had made Twilight's connection to me draw Spark into this whole mess.
Do you know anything about the ghouls living there? Are they nice?
Lilith pressed forward, seeing my expression and moving to change the subject. Sunshine shrugged.
I know they will let normal ponies into their settlement, but usually not for very long. Most normal ponies wouldn't stay anyways, not with that many ghouls in one area, she said. It's nothing against them, they just kind of smell is all.
Lilith tittered at this.
Oh, I know that one all too well. Sloth smelled like dead fish sometimes, she said, bristling her wings.
I winced at her statement. Cranky hadn't been the most pleasant-smelling donkey, but the old ghoul had proven to be dedicated to his lover. Which brought me back around to the warm weight strapped to my back.
Sloth?
Sunshine said, cocking her head.
Long story, old friend. Canterlot ghoul,
Lilith said. Sunshine nodded. Lilith grimaced, glancing back at me.
You holding up okay there, Star?
I met her gaze, sighing.
Yeah, I'm all right, I said. I just want to get there and find out what's wrong with Patches all.
Lilith smiled softly, pulling back to walk next to me while Sunshine and Steeljack trotted ahead.
There's something else wrong, and both you and I know it, Lilith said softly.
Now spill it.
It's nothing, really, Lilith, I'm fine, I said, trying to shrug her off.
Lilith's wings flared angrily.
It isn't nothing. Now talk to me. We've been through too much together for you to ignore my help, Star,
the Black Pegasus said.
You've been off ever since Duskblue. So spill, or we take Patch ahead and send you back to Tenpony Tower.
You wouldn't dare,
I said hoarsely. Lilith's eyes lit up.
Try me. I most certainly would. I'm far faster than you on any day, she said. If you can't handle this...
She motioned up at Patch on my back.
Then you most certainly don't deserve to be here.
I grimaced. She was right, of course. I didn't deserve to be here, but I was going to do it anyways. I had to help Patch. I had to make sure she was all right, that she didn't die.
I can handle this, Lilith. Trust me, I said, my voice raising.
I glanced past her to see Steeljack and Sunshine. They were watching patiently while Lilith snarled loudly.
Trust you? Really? You're not telling us a damn thing. I don't even know what to trust you with,
she shouted. I sighed, shaking my head.
It's not... we don't have time for this, I said. Pet could be... she could be dying.
Lilith's eyes widened and she halted immediately. She looked away for a brief moment.
That's it, isn't it? You think you're responsible for her, she said softly. Just like Diamond, just like Cranky. And Discord and Dusk Blue, I said, tears beginning to fill my eyes. I'm responsible for them all, Lilith. I caused all of this to happen. So many ponies, they all died because of my fuck-ups. I don't want that to happen to her.
Lilith sighed deeply, stepping up to me and placing a hoof on my shoulder.
Star, none of that is your fault and neither is what happened to Patch. Now come on, you are right about one thing. We need to get her to Duskhoof, the sooner the better, the Black Mare said. But listen to me right now. We're going to see about getting you some help there at Ten Pony Tower, whatever. You are not responsible for this. You saved a lot of ponies' lives, Star.
I hung my head, letting the tears fall to the ground below. Lilith wrapped a foreleg around my neck, pulling me into a quick embrace. She patted me softly.
I'm so sorry. I thought I was past all this, but it keeps coming back.
I choked out.
And now with Patch, I just can't help it.
Shh, I know, Lilith said. But we've got to focus on the present. Patch can still be helped after all. And you do want to help her, right? I nodded.
Good, now let's get going. We've still got a ways to go to get to Duskhoof.
We began to walk on in silence this time. Patch stirred slightly on my back but didn't wake up as we made our way down the streets of Manhattan. Ten Pony Tower was far behind us now. It seemed so far away yet so close at the same time. As we walked, my mind was wracked with though. Despite what Lilith had said, I couldn't pull myself away from the fact that every pony was wrong about one simple truth. I had caused Discord's freedom. That was something I was responsible for. In a way, I was also responsible for what Dusk Blue did. I sighed. Maybe I really did need psychological help. It would certainly have explained my frame of mind. I was a mess, plain and simple. My mind was fractured and broken between Twilight's memories and my own shattered recollections. I couldn't tear my thoughts away from the deaths I had witnessed in the past week alone. Dusk Blue's demise kept replaying itself in my mind over and over. I glanced back at Patch and grimaced. She was still sleeping soundly, but how long would that last? What if we didn't get the help she needed in time? I allowed my mind to work its overdrive as we found ourselves in what appeared to be a massive open square leading off in three different directions. Several large buildings dwarfed the clearing of broken rock, towering over us and preventing us from seeing beyond. They were covered in billboards, signs, namely Sparkle Cola and Ministry advertisements. Twilight Sparkle looked out from one of the massive signs, sitting next to an open book. The words, "Reading, it's a hoot," were emblazoned on next to it with a picture of a cartoon owl. Massive pieces of rubble and debris blocked off the exit in front and to the right of us.
Duskhoof is just beyond the square of the city. The hospital is on the other side of that barrier, Sunshine said, pointing out across a clearing.
How do we get over there? Steeljack said. It looks like we're making a big circle.
Sunshine nodded, grimacing.
We need to be very careful. This area is a well-known habitat for manticores, she said. That's why we need to go around and approach from the other direction. There's a reason we call this Claw Pass. Manticores? Great, I said, grimacing.
My mind went back to when I was captured by Discord. Manticores were not fun. We continued forward, keeping an eye warily on the surrounding buildings. The side street we were forced into was like a tunnel, the concrete towers on each side dwarfing the span of the asphalt beneath our hoofs. One of the buildings had fallen over, resting comfortably across the street on top of a smaller building. I glanced up at it as we trotted beneath, worried that today would be the day that it would topple down to land on some pony's unfortunate heads. Without much to do or say, I slipped my earbud into my right ear and turned my Pipbox radio on. The smooth sounds of Sweetie Belle's voice filled my mind, giving it a much-needed break from its current thought track. Was I going crazy? Had Discord somehow invaded my mind and was slowly driving me insane? No, that one was right out. If he had, there'd be more chocolate milk involved.
After assessing the airtime properties of chocolate milk and the lack thereof, I tossed that idea out of the door. It would have been too easy to blame him after all. The real blame lay solely with me. We found ourselves nearing the end of the long street as the music wound down and the smooth voice of DJ Pan 3 came onto my radio.
Good afternoon, Wasteland kiddies. It is I, DJ Pan 3, with the greatest new show in 200 years. Now I know you all are probably wondering what in the heck is going on in Manhattan. Well, kiddies, it seems as the problems between the NCR and the Twilight Society were all due to one unicorn by the name of Dusk Blue. You see, kiddies, Dusk had this plan to force the NCR and the Society into a war. One that would have inevitably ended with the utter obliteration of every pony in the city. Dusk wanted to use Celestia One as his own little private sun cannon and manipulated every pony he could into achieving his goals. Well, that didn't exactly go too well for the old chap, because our friendly neighborhood ministry mayor puts a smackdown on him. After sending Blue sailing into next Tuesday, the ministry mayor managed to convince the NCR and the Twilight Society to set aside their differences and find a way to work together. Isn't that simply beautiful, children? By working together, we can accomplish just about anything. Now, some of y'all out there are wondering what happened to yours truly while all this was going on. Well, kiddies, that's what we like to call a secret in this business. Sorry to get your hopes up. Thanks again to the ministry mayor for all her help. If you see this pony on the mean streets, think twice before shooting and offer her some love. She needs it. And I'm out for a while. Have some music, kiddies.
I grimaced. DJ Pan 3 made me sound outright heroic. No mention at all of Discord and his freedom, and no mention that Dusk Blue actually blew himself up. Just lavish praise draped over a pony who didn't deserve it, shaping a hero that didn't exist. I wondered when I had begun to separate the Ministry Mayor of Legend from myself. I certainly wasn't that mayor anymore. I wasn't the good pony who fought for truth and justice. I just wanted to get rid of these memories, these emotions, and stop Spark from doing whatever it was that she was up to. We made our way around the corner, stopping cold when we found that the path had been blocked by a large field of debris scattered all over the ground.
Great, Sunshine said softly.
I noticed that she had tensed up.
What's wrong?
Lilith said. Sunshine put a hoof to her mouth.
We're being watched, she said. Have been since we started down the last street.
I blinked as the mayor motioned for us to follow her. We huddled down behind some rubble on the side of the street, trying to obscure ourselves.
How do you know? I said.
Sunshine grimaced.
I can feel it in my hoofs. My special talent relates directly to earth magic. Plants, natural soil, you know what I mean, she whispered.
I nodded, having used some of her spells while inside her body.
It's a very unnatural talent for a unicorn to have, but I can feel through it. Makes me more aware of my surroundings. Something, and I don't know what, has been following us.
Can you tell what it is?
Steeljack asked.
Sunshine shook her head. It's too unclear, but given this area reputation, probably manticores,
she said, levitating out her tiny beam pistol. I unleashed Stargazer while Steeljack let Tempest's visor slide back into place, obscuring his face entirely. Lilith did the same with her helmet, her wings bristling at the chance of real action. As one we stood, moving forward carefully towards the square's exit. We were roughly 20 feet from the exit when I heard a guttural growl that stopped me in my tracks. I looked up, seeing the burly frame of a manticore climbing out of a window of one of the skyrises. The beast looked gaunt, like it hadn't eaten in days, but still strong enough to take down a pony. It roared, staring right at us.
Every pony run!
Sunshine shouted, breaking into a gallop. I started running too, splitting my magic between holding up Stargazer and keeping Patch's makeshift harness in place. The roar got louder, accompanied by the crushing sound of rocks as the manticore pounded the rubble into dust beneath its massive paws. The beast leapt from the wall of debris it was running along, landing on the street in front of us with a crash. Sunshine stopped dead and ducked as a large set of claws soared above her head. Her horn ignited, summoning a patch of vines that struck out and snagged the creature's arm, giving the mare enough time to leap away from the chimeric creature. It wouldn't last that long, unfortunately. The manticore lifted his other claw, severing the vines completely. It flexed its bat-like wings, snarling and roaring. Steeljack jumped to the side of the creature, firing off several bullets from Tempest's rifle. The round slammed home in the manticore's leg, which only seemed to infuriate it off even more. The thing stomped forward, extending its forearm in a slash that caught the stallion across the chest, throwing him into a pile of rubble.
"Steeljack!"
I shouted as the monster turned back towards me and Sunshine. Lilith snarled loudly, flaring her wings and taking to the sky, prepping herself for a charge. A shadow cast over the airborne mare, another roar coming from above her. Lilith spun about, the second manticore barely missing her as it crashed to the ground. Sunshine's horn flared, covering the beast in vines. It struggled to remove itself from its predicament as the first manticore disregarded it and instead opted to charge at me instead. I tucked in to the right, lifting Stargazer with my magic and dropping into ESATS. I queued up several disabling shots and dropped the spell, letting my gun take aim and do what it did best. The bullets struck home with unnerving accuracy, striking the creature's back legs as it reared up to attack. The beast howled in pain as blood poured from where it had been shot. Almost as if sensing that I was the bigger threat, the manticore took to the sky and flew away. I let it go. There was no sense in chasing after if we'd managed to scare it off. The other manticore, however, did not. It snarled and snapped its way out of Sunshine's prison, a claw catching the pink mare in the side. It knocked her to the ground, but thankfully didn't pierce her barding. I turned quickly to intercept the creature. Just as it was about to come down on Sunshine, Steeljack's hoofs came down, striking the beast in the back of the neck repeatedly. The manticore roared, flapping its wings to try and get the stallion off. Eventually, the creature got mad enough that it grabbed the Earth Pony with its tail, tossing him to the side. I lifted Stargazer and pointed it at the beast.
"Leave us alone!" I shouted. "Or are you Sis?"
The creature snarled under its breath, glaring at me. For several tense seconds, I thought that it wouldn't listen. After moments, however, the beast's wings unfolded and flew off. I looked back at Patch, checking on her. She was still asleep.
"That sedation spell must be working quite well,"
I thought, silently thanking the doctor for at least making that happen. I made my way over to Sunshine Sky, who was being helped up by Lilith.
"You all right there?"
Lilith asked. Sunshine nodded.
"This sort of thing happened to you guys often?"
she said. Lilith rolled her eyes.
"You have no idea,"
she replied. I snorted in derision.
"Not all the time,"
I said as Steeljack rejoined us.
"Steeljack, are you all right?"
"I'm fine, just a little bruised and sore," he said as his visor retracted.
He lifted out a potion bottle out of his bags, taking several draughts of the liquid inside. He sighed in relief.
"Much better. What about Patch? Is she okay?"
"She's fine. Slept right through the whole thing,"
I said, looking back at the mare again.
"Do you think those things will come back?"
Sunshine asked.
"I don't know, but I'm not about to find out," I said. "Let's keep moving."
We started forward again, watching for any signs of the two manticores that had attacked us, as well as any other threats. The trail of blood left behind by the one-eyed shot indicated that it made its way back inside one of the abandoned buildings. Almost as if we had been gifted with a kiss of luck, we made it out of the square without any other issues. The next corner we turned presented us with what we'd been looking for this whole time. A large hospital sat at the far end of the next street. It was surrounded by makeshift walls of steel and sky wagons. The hospital itself looked like it had seen better days, the very top floors of the place having been crushed into rubble and debris. Several ghouls patrolled alongside the walls, keeping a close eye on the Manhattan wasteland. The emblem of three butterflies, Fluttershy's symbol of hope and peace in a dying world, was emblazoned on the side of the hospital's outer walls. The colors of the Ministry of Peace symbol had been changed, however, to a muted gray tone with black background. We continued moving forward, raising our hoofs to make our intentions known to the guards on the wall. One of them leapt from the wall, spreading his wings? No, that's not quite right. They looked like wings, but they were tattered remains of leathery appendages. It was a wonder they could even fly on them. The ghoul landed in front of us 20 feet away and flashed a sharp grin. I could see fangs beneath his rotting lips. His eyes flashed bright blue and his ears tapered off into sharp points.
"Welcome to Duskhof. Please come in."
The town's gate lifted, a screeching sound of steel upon steel as a massive doorway allowed us to enter the courtyard. Our escort, who hadn't said anything beyond his initial welcome, led us to a guard station. After depositing our weaponry with the gate guards and the promise of getting it returned when we left, he motioned for us to follow him. The ghoul stopped before the main doors of the hospital.
"I'm sure you'll understand. We don't get a lot of smoothskins like yourself around here often," the creature said, his voice gravely. "But that doesn't mean that we don't treat him fairly. Stay out of trouble and you'll be fine here."
"We're here to see Dr. Dryrod," I said. "We have a friend who is very sick and needs his expertise."
The ghoul nodded, his expression darkening.
"Well, I can take you to see the mayor. He'll explain everything," he said. "My name is Silmetra. If you need anything else while you're here, just ask."
I smiled softly.
"If I may be so bold, what does the mayor need to explain? Why can't we just see the doctor?"
I asked as Silmetra opened the front doors of the hospital. The lobby-slash-waiting area had been converted into what looked like a common area for the denizens of the small community. Several ghouls sat around, playing games or reading books.
"I apologize, but the mayor will need to tell you what is going on. We are not to discuss it outside of his office,"
Silmetra said as he motioned for us to follow him to the elevator at the far end of the lobby.
I see," I said. "All right, then, a second question. What are you? I've never seen a Pegasus ghoul like you before."
Silmetra flashed a toothy grin.
"That's because I'm not a Pegasus. Well, not exactly anyways," he said.
I cocked my head at this.
"Huh? Not a Pegasus? Could have fooled me,"
Lilith said, bristling her wings. Silmetra nodded.
I'm a Duskhoof," he said. "The common equish translation of my race's true name is Bad Pony."
"Bad Pony? I didn't even know there was such a thing," I said.
Silmetra smiled as the elevator dinked softly. I went in first, moving to the far back and cramping in so the others could get in as well. Sometimes I hated being bigger than other ponies.
"I assure you we do exist. There are very few of us in the world that are alive. Many more of us are ghouls, like myself. There are even a few Canterlot varieties,"
Silmetra said.
"You're very well spoken for a ghoul," Sunshine said.
Silmetra offered a smile to the pink mare.
"Thank you," he said. "I was a graduate from Trottingham University after all. Let it never be said that the old TU did not know how to educate its ponies."
"So you were alive during the war?" I said, looking up at the ghoul.
I was, yes. I was a contractor for the government. I studied engineering, you know. Made quite a living off of it until the very end. I was stuck in Manhattan on the day the megaspell dropped,"
he replied.
"The rest is, well, history."
"Interesting,"
I murmured as the elevator dinked softly. The bad pony pushed open the door, allowing us to filter out. We walked down the hall into another waiting area. Silmetra pointed at an empty room.
"You can set your friend down here," he said. "Then we will go see Mayor Iker."
I raised an eyebrow at this. Silmetra smiled softly.
"Don't worry, your friend will be well protected here. We all mean you no harm."
"It's fine," Steeljack said, glancing up at me. "Star, let's get her down here."
I nodded, flaring my horn and reaching out with my magic to lower the mare onto the floor in her harness. She flopped over, yawning as her eyes opened. She glanced up at me and I smiled.
"Star, where are we?"
she asked.
"We're in Duskhoof Patch. You're going to be all right. How are you feeling?"
I asked. She let her hoof run down to her stomach and sighed.
"Better, but still not 100%,
she replied.
"I was out for a while, huh?"
"Sedation spell. We had to make sure you wouldn't move around until we got here,"
Lilith said, stepping up next to us.
"You gave us quite a scare, sweetie."
"Sorry, the foal? Have we seen Dr. Rot yet?"
Patch said. I shook my head, motioning to Silmetra behind us.
"Silmetra here is going to take us to the mayor. Something's going on here. We don't know where Dr. Dryrod is yet," I said. "We're going to find him, Patch. I'm going to make sure that we fix this and find out what's wrong with you."
Patch smiled and nodded, laying her head back.
"Well, if it's all the same to you, I'm still pretty tired. I'm gonna lay here," she said.
Symmetra's wings bristled as he stiffened to attention.
Stay here as long as you desire, he said. If you require anything, do not hesitate to ask. We have food and water if you need it.
Thank you, Symmetra. Let's go meet the mayor, I said.
The bed pony nodded, motioning to us to follow. We left Patch and started down the hallway towards a sign that said Administration. It made sense to me for the mayor to be there. Symmetra pushed open the door, waving us inside.
I will remain here while you speak with the mayor. When you are ready, I will take you back to your friend, he said.
I nodded, wondering just what exactly was going on here. Why all the secrecy? What was the problem keeping us from seeing Dryrat already? I shuffled inside the administration office behind the others. The office itself was sparsely populated other than a few broken bookshelves along the walls and an oak desk in the center of the room. Behind the desk sat a Earth Pony Ghoul who looked like he'd seen better days. He looked up as we entered.
Oh, hello. You must be the normies that Symmetra allowed into town, he said jovially.
His voice didn't certainly sound manhead teen.
I'm Mayor Iker Sludge. A pleasure to meet you.
Radiant Star, I said. These are my friends, Lilith, Sunshine Sky, and Steeljack.
Oh, yes, the Ministry Mayor. Now I recognize you,
Iker said, smiling.
It's not every day that we get a visit from a celebrity.
Let's cut to the chase here, Mayor, I said. I need to find Dr. Dryrat. I've got a friend here who desperately needs his help.
Yes, I'm afraid that the good doctor will be unable to see your friend,
Iker replied.
Unfortunately, Dr. Rot has gone missing. We fear that he is no longer among the living, or rather, unliving, as it were.
What do you mean, missing?
Lilith said. Iker sighed, motioning to a map laying on the desk.
One of the major issues we've always had with living here in Duskov is mapping out the whole hospital. It is a large place, one of the largest in all of Equestria, I'd gather to say,
the ghoul said.
The ferals don't make it easy for us, after all. We've been determined to scavenge any medical supplies we can get out of the place, but they have been attacking our expeditions recently.
I thought feral ghouls never usually attacked lucid ones, I said.
Yes, that is normally true, but there's something about these particular ghouls,
Iker said, grimacing.
They work in groups, very fast, and they seem to show some form of intelligence. Intelligent for feral, that is.
You think some pony is controlling them?
Sunshine piped up. Iker sighed.
I do, and I believe I know who. When we first set up shop here in Duskov, we did so because of two ghouls. The first was a unicorn by the name of Blind Face. He was everything that ponies looked for in a leader, fair and just, and friendly. He believed that we rotters deserved a place in the world where we could be ourselves, and that we should open ourselves up to the ponies of the wasteland, the mayor explained. The other, he was a Pegasus ghoul by the name of Red Death. I don't know what his original name was. He never told us. I do know he was alive during the war, like most of the ghouls here are. Red Death thought that Duskov should cater only to ghouls and a post-Blind Face friendly outlook. Ghouls were ghouls, he said, and we have to stand together.
I'm sorry, but what does it have to do with Dryrat? I said, narrowing my gaze at the ghoul. I was getting impatient the longer Patch wasn't well.
Right, getting to that. Red Death wanted to experiment with our feral brethren, applying science to try and help them regain their memories. He used collars to try and fire synapses in a feral ghoul's brain. He thought it would help them become lucid. In a freak accident, his test subjects escaped and murdered Blind Face. Of course, it looked like Red himself let them out to destroy his most hated rival, but then a few days after, he himself disappeared. He hasn't been seen since,
Iker said.
The attacks that have started up recently bear a striking resemblance to Red's work, as those that have survived report that they were wearing collars.
So, Dryrat went missing during one of those expeditions?
Lilith said. Iker nodded.
Dr. Rod was a firm proponent of finding more medical technology to assist in studying the general ghoul condition. He thought Red's experiments were risky and unethical, and the right way was to advance medical science as a whole. He'd picked up little bits here and there, but nothing major. This expedition was going to delve deeper into the hospital than we'd ever gone,
the mayor said.
No pony has heard from any pony in the expedition since then.
I grimaced.
If Dr. Rudd couldn't help Patch, then what could we do? Just make her comfortable until we found some pony else? She couldn't travel, not in the state she was in. An idea struck me.
What if we go into the hospital and find him? I said aloud.
Every pony glanced over at me. Ikor had an expression of surprise painted on his face.
You can't be serious, he said. It's dangerous. The feral ghouls won't let you that far in, and who's to say you'll even find him alive? He's most likely dead.
I don't care. I still need to try, I said. Patch is a good friend of mine, and if Dr. Rudd can help her, I'll do whatever it takes.
Me too, Steeljack said. I'll join you, Star, if you'll let me.
I smiled and nodded.
If you're going to do this, then I will remain here with Patch, Lilith said. I can keep an eye on her, and besides, I'm really getting sick of enclosed spaces.
I chuckled.
Understandable, I said. Sunshine, why don't you stay with Lilith? That way, if anything happens, you can send a message to the others.
The pink unicorn nodded, smiling softly. I turned to Mayor Sludge.
Show us where the expedition went missing and we'll take it from there.
Are you sure? I mean, we'd greatly appreciate it. The good doctor was very helpful to have here, he said.
I nodded, confirming that I was indeed going to do this. Ikor sighed.
All right, I'm sending Sumetra with you. He knows a lot about this hospital's layout, and he can help navigate better than any other ghoul here.
Let's get this over with, then, I said, unlatching Stargazer from its harness.
I narrowed my gaze at Ikor's latch.
I've got a friend that needs saving. Are you certain this is the right way?
I asked, gulping as I glanced down the gloomy hallway in front of us. Symmetra stood to my side, a sly grin on his face.
Frightened, Ministry Mayor, he said.
My eyes widened.
I'm not scared of a scary-looking hallway, I exclaimed. I just want to make sure that we're headed in the right direction, is all.
We had been walking forward for half an hour through the part of the hospital that still had some power. Based on what the Bat Ghoul had told us, we were just about to pass a point where the expedition had stopped communicating. The last report that came in was before they started down this hall.
Both of you, be quiet.
Steeljack's voice resonated from inside Tempest's helmet.
We don't want to be caught by any feral ghouls before we are ready.
I nodded, carrying Stargazer along in my magic.
Steeljack's right, Sumera said. We should keep moving and quietly. I can feel that we are being watched.
My eyes widened as I glanced about our little group. There didn't seem to be any pony else here but us. The Bat Ghoul moved forward with confidence that I didn't have, making his way to the end of the dark hallway. It ended in a large set of double doors with a broken electronic sign above them. Lining the walls were gurneys and shredded and bloody sheets among other various broken medical tools. Symmetra pushed open the doors slightly, peering inside past it. He motioned to us to follow him and stepped through. The hallway on the other side of the door was more of the same, except for the fact that there were doors leading to large rooms on each side. Each door bore the familiar three butterflies of the Ministry of Peace. The hallway curved to the left at the end.
What is this place?
I whispered to Symmetra. The Bat Ghoul pushing open a door to one of the rooms. It had a table inside of it with two chairs, two pony skeletons set across from each other.
Wartime stress disorder, this is where they treated it, he said quietly. The Ministry of Peace was devoted to trying to help ponies cope with war. That this wing of the hospital was designated solely to treat ponies with the disorder. The expedition was supposed to have stopped in here and mapped the whole place before leaving with whatever they could find.
We kept moving down the hallway, checking each room as we went. Many of them held tables and chairs with skeletons, while others were solid white, or would have been solid white if they were clean and padded. At the end of the hall, we made the turn and found ourselves in a large open area with tables and chairs all over. Tiny offices branched off from the main area, and two hallways could be seen at the far end.
What do you think happened to the expedition? I wondered aloud.
Symmetra frowned.
I believe that the majority of them perished, he said coolly.
I grimaced.
How do you know?
I asked. Symmetra pointed at the far end of the large hall.
Because I believe we just found them,
he said. Before the two hallways forked off was the makings of a tiny camp. Several bodies were strewn about, appearing to be ghoul in nature. Silmetra's eyes scanned the dead bodies, his tongue clicking as he looked them over.
It appears our friend the doctor is not among these.
Then he's not dead?
I said, feeling hopeful. Symmetra grimaced.
That means he's not here. This is definitely the expedition, though. But he's the only one of the group that's missing.
The bat ghoul replied.
Still, they were attacked by feral ghouls, all right. See the bite marks and the scratches?
I nodded, following his motions. The scattered chunks had clear bite marks on them. Equine bite marks. Symmetra's ears perked up as he was looking down at the campsite.
What is it?
I asked. The bat ghoul's eyes flashed.
Company, he said.
Shuffling sounds emanated from the hallway on our right. Two feral ghouls came into view, growling loudly. The first thing I noticed is that they weren't immediately just charging at us. The second thing I noticed were the silver collars around their necks. The one on the right grunted, tapping the other ghoul. It snarled, starting forward at Symmetra. The bat ghoul craned his neck and opened his mouth and began to screech. I immediately slapped my hoofs to my ears to stop the sound, wincing from the pain of hoofs striking my head. In retrospect, the headache that followed wasn't entirely the fault of the sound. The feral stumbled, falling to the ground. It writhed in pain as the other ghoul watched. It reared up with its bloody and rotted hoofs, ripping off its own ears. It roared, charging at Symmetra. The bat ghoul closed his mouth and leapt back, enabling me to remove my hoofs from the sides of my head. I grimaced, lifting Stargazer with my magic and clubbing the earless ghoul with it. It went flying into the wall with a thud. A sharp retort from behind us caught my attention. I turned about to see Steeljack firing on three more ghouls who had appeared out of nowhere.
What's that?
I said, more snarls and snapping, drawing my focus back to the hallway. Four ghouls were coming down it, each one wearing one of those strange collars.
Symmetra, we need a plan here.
The bat ghoul extended his wings, leaping out of the way of a feral attack. He opened his mouth again, screeching loudly directly at the feral whose head promptly exploded. I blinked at the sight of it.
Remind myself to never piss off this pony,
I thought. His blue eyes flashed again and he grimaced.
Down the other hallway, he shouted. We'll get them on the other side of us and try and make our way to the upper level.
He lifted into the air, flying towards the left hallway. I nodded, swinging Stargazer like a baseball bat at each ghoul that got close. More sharp retorts indicated that Steeljack was holding his own. I glanced back at the stallion.
Steeljack, we gotta move!
I called out. He nodded, kicking out with a hoof to push back a ghoul that had gotten too close. The ghoul slammed into a wall, snapping at air. The collar on its neck caught the light for a second as Steeljack turned his rifle on it and blew its brains out. He turned tail and followed after Symmetra while I stayed back. I grinned, an idea forming in my mind. My horn ignited, casting the anti-gravity spell as fast as I could on the ghouls in the room. Each one went soaring upwards to the ceiling above, grunting and growling as I tried to get down. I galloped down the hallway, nearly running right into the others. I panted, spinning about and tossing as much hospital gear in the path as I could with telekinesis. It made for a nice pile, blocking the hall from any pursuing ghouls.
Star, are you all right?
Steeljack said. I nodded, breathing heavily under the load of the magic.
I'll be fine, I said. Let's keep moving and process what we know.
Well, we know that Dryrot is most likely not dead,
Symmetra said as he continued forward. I could still hear the ghouls in the other room until we made it to the far end of the hall where there was a set of doors leading to the stairwell. A set of broken elevators set off to the side.
And we also know that whatever is controlling the ghouls knows we are here. I wonder, though, what he wants with Dr. Rot. Arcane technology of this nature isn't his forte.
Maybe that's a problem, I said. Maybe whoever is controlling the ghouls is trying to figure out how to fix the collars, but it's not working the same old way. A more natural, biological means makes sense.
Symmetra nodded.
Regardless, we're going to need to move up, he said. There doesn't seem to be much more in this section besides the offices and waiting area. If we can reach the security core of the hospital, we might be able to reactivate the camera system and find out where Dryrot really is.
Sounds like a good plan to me, Steeljack said. Do you know where that is?
Samara grinned sheepishly.
I only have vague information to go on, he said. I've only been here for a few years at most. A drop in the ocean for a ghoul, really. The Duskhoof Hospital has been here much longer. The best we know is that the security core is located up and deep within the hospital's administration offices.
Then up we'll go, I said, hearing the snarling and snapping of the ghouls down the hallway.
Crashing sounds indicated that my gravity spell had finally worn off and that the monsters were trying to bash through the barricade. I grimaced, flinging open the door to the stairwell with my magic.
Come on, I'll bar the door after we're through.
The two stallions nodded, making their way up the stairs. I stepped inside, slamming the door closed and focused in the back of my mind for something that could help us. A flicker of a memory shot into the forefront of my thoughts. I grinned, casting the spell that Twilight's memories had granted me. A part of me wondered why I had been able to find it as quickly as I had, but I had no time to complain as a beam of light shot forth from my horn, melting the seams of the door so it wouldn't open. I pushed on the melted door hard and it wouldn't budge.
It'll have to do. We're definitely not leaving this way, I thought.
I turned tail and started up the stairs after my friends. The stairwell seemed to go upwards forever. I cringed at the amount of stairs. What was it with pre-war ponies and all these stairs? I groaned, taking step after step. At the very least, my wing was starting to feel a little better even with all the strain of moving around. I could rotate it a bit without pain screaming through my side, so that was a plus. We stepped onto the first landing and checked the door. Just on the other side of it, there was a hospital map plastered on the wall. It was faded, but a giant red arrow pointed to a location with a text saying, "You are here," could be made out clearly on it.
"Well, now that's helpful,"
Sir Metra said, scrutinizing the map. He turned his head and opened his mouth. A shrill cry emanated from it. I winced at the pain it was causing me, causing the bad pony to notice and stop.
"Oh, I'm sorry for that. I was just getting an idea of where things were."
"Huh? What do you mean?"
I said, glancing over at Steeljack. The other stallion was busy reading the map and hadn't reacted to Symmetra's cry.
"My guess is that being an alicorn, your hearing is slightly enhanced,"
Symmetra said. I nodded.
"I thought so. We Duskhoofs have a special talent that we can use to fight as well as to determine our location. It's all in our voice. Being a ghoul for as long as I have, it doesn't seem to have diminished that talent."
"So, wait, you can just open your mouth and know where you are?"
I asked, feeling very confused. Symmetra smiled.
"Yes, but the sounds we emit are typically too high for a normal pony to hear," he said. "It seems that with your enhanced hearing you can actually hear me."
"What about the feral ghouls? They certainly reacted to your screech," I said.
"Yes, when used for combat, a Duskhoof can project force with their screech. It can be used for many applications, but fighting it's the most common one,"
Symmetra replied.
"It was a weapon unique to my kind and frequently used by the Night Guard of Equestria. Princess Luna herself trained many of our kind to fight for her, and so we did."
I nodded.
"So does it mean you know where we are?"
Steeljack said.
"'Cause I can't make heads or tail out of this silly map."
"It means I know where we need to go," Symmetra said. "Our destination is here."
He pointed at a location on the map, its designation slightly smudged by the wear of time. Still, I could make out the word administration over it. It was up four more levels and across the ER wing of the hospital.
"Great. More stairs?"
I groaned. Steeljack chuckled as we shuffled back into the stairwell.
"That's not funny, I swear. The goddess of stairs is punishing me for something."
"I do not recall there ever being a goddess of stairs," Symmetra said casually.
I glared at him but decided to drop it as we made our way up the cursed stairs once more. I decided after several minutes that the silence was killing me.
"So, Symmetra," I said, catching the bad girl's attention. "You said you worked for the military. Did you ever meet Luna? Or any of the ministry mares?"
I met Luna several times, actually. Of the ministry mares, I only ever met Twilight Sparkle, and that was once,"
he said.
How did you meet Luna?
I said, scratching my head. Symmetra smiled.
I was a desk hoof and a contract engineer for the military. We met several times over the course of the war to discuss our involvement in military projects, he said. I believe that the Princess of the Night trusted those she kept closest to her most of all, and no other race were closer to her than the Dusk Hoofs.
Do you know anything about a project called Stargazer?
I said, curiosity getting the better of me.
Yes, the ultimate weapon for the Princess herself. It was said that it was never finished completion.
Symmetra said, I grinned sheepishly, pointing to the minigun slung of my harness.
That's not exactly true, I said. You're looking at that weapon.
Symmetra's eyes widened as he scanned up and down the minigun.
I see, he said finally. It is an impressive find. Where did you locate it?
It was under the Mall of Equestria, Steeljack interjected. Just sitting there.
Symmetra frowned.
What's wrong?
I said. The Batghoul waved it off, smiling.
Oh, nothing. Just amazed to see that it was actually completed. Many wondered about the possibility of using star metal in weapons, but the risk and the cost of it were too high.
He said.
I've wondered myself how this even exists.
I said, glancing down at the minigun.
It seems like it's a technological impossibility to me. It's very special. I can see why Luna wanted it to be completed.
Luna had nothing to do with it, really. The gun was actually Twilight Sparkle's idea,
Symmetra said.
She believed that the princess would need it to be able to defend herself and commissioned Stargazer to build it secretly. I don't believe Luna even knew that it was she who came up with it.
I stopped in my tracks cold. Twilight knew about Stargazer? Something wasn't right there.
Twilight, how did you know?
I said as the other two realized I'd stopped walking.
Dusk hoofs have excellent hearing, Radiant Star,
Symmetra said.
I overheard Miss Sparkle discussing it with Stargazer the day she commissioned it. Of course, she caught me eavesdropping. I was trying to get a better idea of what the Ministry was up to. Twilight's work had evolved at that time, and she was troubled, I'd like to think.
What did she say?
I said, narrowing my gaze at the Batghoul.
That I shouldn't worry about it, and that if I told Luna, she'd... Well...
He replied.
It wasn't pretty. It was the first and thankfully the last time I'd ever meet Miss Sparkle. Several months later, well, you know the rest.
I do, I said calmly. Thank you, Symmetra. We should keep moving.
The Batghoul nodded and we continued up the stairs while I tried to process things. What did Twilight knowing about Stargazer mean to me? Was the weapon my back merely an extension of Twilight's power in this world? Was that why it could damage beings like Discords or Nightmare? I wasn't sure. The gun had been built for Twilight, not by. A gun named Stargazer made by a unicorn named Stargazer? I had to smile at that. I wool gathered my way up the stairs, sinking back to Patch and wondering how she was doing. I was sure that Lilith and Sunshine were doing their best to care for her, but I was upset that I still didn't know how to really help her. I sighed to myself, letting my thoughts drift to my discussion with Patch and the later talk with Lilith. We'd all been through so much. At what point did I tell my friends to leave? To stop following my insane path of destruction that had left so many sacrificed or dead? Regardless of what Lilith had tried to beat into my brain, I was not feeling better about any of it. I'd put on a brave face for the others, but she had seen through it, having gone through far worse than I could ever imagine. Still, the fear gnawed on me. I feared that my friends might not make it away from all of this alive. I feared that I would be left alone. I feared that I would lose Violet and everything I ever cared for. I feared. It was unsettling trying to contain it while we walked ever closer into what was certainly a death trap for us all. I only hoped I could maintain the courage necessary to press forward, for Patch's sake. We eventually stopped four landings above where we had started from, finding two massive oak doors with the signs that said administration over the top. I stepped forward, trying the door and finding it locked. I grimaced, flaring my horn in anger. A hoof gently touched my shoulder and I glanced over, seeing Symmetra. He shook his head and smiled, producing a bobby pin and a screwdriver.
How about you let me deal with this?
He said softly. I sighed and nodded as the Batghoul went to work against the lock. It took several minutes, but he managed to get it open. We pushed the door open and peered inside. The hallway was much different than the rest of the hospital we'd seen so far. Instead of off-white dirty linoleum, the floor was hard wood, as were the walls. Pictures of happy ponies and fields of flowers, half blown apart by balefire and worn by the ages, adorned the walls. There were no skeletons or anything to speak of, but the far end of the main hallway had collapsed onto itself. We made our way down, noticing several hallways branching off deeper into the administration offices. Many of the offices were closed, while a few were wide open. None of the lights were working either. I grimaced, lighting my horn to provide some illumination while we walked. We turned down the first hallway, finding our way to a large open waiting room next to an even larger office. The nameplate on the door was unreadable for the most part, the only words that were legible read Hospital Director. I pushed open the door while the others checked around the immediate area. The security offices were somewhere in this maze of hallways and maybe the director's office would provide some information. The office was filthy, with papers strewn everywhere. Thankfully, the terminal in the corner was still lit. Sitting in the chair in front of it was a skeleton.
I guess we know what happened to him,
I thought as I gently lifted the chair with my magic and moved it aside. The terminal itself was still active and locked in, so I didn't need to hack it. I began to tap through the messages on it, rolling my eyes. The director had apparently been having some form of illicit affair with one of the senior nurses, and many of the communications were rather vivid descriptions of their trysts. I was about to give up when I noticed a function on the main menu called Open Security Door. I blinked, moving down to the option and selecting it. A soft hiss emanated from the other side of the room and I looked up, seeing a door embedded in the wall opening. From what I could see, there were rows and rows of monitors and lights inside. I stepped inside the tiny hidden room, confirming what I had seen from the outside. The room was basically a square box, stuffed full of security and surveillance equipment. I scanned the monitors that were working, looking for something, anything that I could use to find out where Dry Rot was. I was a little frightened when I noticed there were plenty of cameras showing Duskhoof. There was even one showing the room Pat was in. The mayor was laying back in a bed while Lilith and Sunshine sat nearby, occupying themselves with a game similar to Nixie's and Steeljack's pastime. But still no sign of Dry Rot anywhere. A gunshot echoed through the air, taking my attention away from the screens. Steeljack's rifle was firing at something.
"More ghouls?"
I thought, as I moved to leave the security room. I stepped back into the director's office and stopped. The pony sitting at the desk was best described as the ugliest Pegasus I'd ever seen. His coat, what was left of it at least, was blood red and rotting, resulting in what appeared to be pure muscle and sinew in pony form. The soulless eyes of the ghoul glanced up at me from the desk, a sharp grin appearing on his face.
"So, you've come to my little abode,"
he croaked with his gravely voice. Shouts and gunfire echoed from outside the office. I noticed then that the door was closed and worse, locked. Two feral ghouls with the collars on them stood guard. The ghoul noticed my attention to the door and chuckled.
"No worries, there'll be no need for the lock soon enough."
"Open it right now," I said, growling as I unlatched Stargazer. "Or so help me, I'll..."
"Do what, Alicorn? Kill me? That would do your friends a lot of good, wouldn't it?"
the ghoul interrupted me.
"Besides, I know why you're here. You're here for Dr. Rot, am I correct?"
"Where is he?"
I hissed, pointing my minigun at the ghoul. Pounding on the door. I grimaced. I needed to save the others, and fast. I couldn't let Steeljack die, not if his foal was going to live. I wouldn't let that happen.
"He's around," the ghoul replied. "I dare say he's rather comfortable working for me. We've made so much progress here."
"By killing other ghouls? By attacking the town you helped found? You are Red Death, aren't you?"
I said angrily. The ghoul snorted.
"The others, they did not understand the process of science. Sacrifices need to be made,"
the Pegasus ghoul replied.
"But you brought me exactly what I really needed and at a perfect time."
"And what's that?"
"A perfectly healthy pony brain. Of course, we'll have to extract it from him, but he is an excellent specimen.
Red Death said. I scowled. More gunshots on the other side of the door. I wanted to move, to throw open the door, but I didn't know what the ghouls would do if I did, let alone his two guards.
Let them go, I said. All we want is to talk to Dr. Rott.
I'm afraid I can't do that,
the Pegasus ghoul said casually, returning his attention to the papers at the desk.
You see, I need Dr. Rott. He's going to help me cure the ghoul condition.
Cure what? I said, trying to process this. But can't you do that without killing any pony?
Red Death groaned.
Oh, you're just like the ponies in Canterlot when I worked as a Ministry of Peace doctor, he said. Too extreme you are, Red. Why does no pony understand that sacrifices must be made to progress the world?
I sighed, taking a step forward.
Because they don't always need to involve sacrificing pony lives, I said. There's too much death in this world already. You're trying to cure what you are? That sounds brilliant, but the way you're doing it, you need to take a long, hard look and figure that out.
You don't understand. They never understood me,
Red Death shouted. The door opened suddenly, revealing a gaggle of ghoul guards guiding my friends inside. Steeljack's visor was retracted and he had a grim look on his face while Symmetra focused immediately on the Pegasus ghoul. Red Death sneered at the two.
Excellent, excellent. Execute the ghoul and leave Zara's pony. He and the Alicorn will provide useful in my experiments.
Don't do it, Red Death. I do understand. You want to make things better, I get that, I said forcefully. That's all I've ever been trying to do. I have a friend who needs Dr. Rott. She's pregnant and very ill, and he's her only hope. You can give her a chance to bring forth new life.
Red Death snorted.
I always hated that name. Care was my name once. But Red Death, I accepted that title because I didn't want any pony to know the wrong side done to pony society.
The doctor mused.
But enough of that. My experiments are more important. I'm very close to curing ghoulism. I'll be able to save hundreds of ponies with it. Some of us don't want to be saved, Red,
Symmetra said quietly. Red snarled, turning towards the bad ghoul.
I want to be saved, he roared. Do you think I like being like this? Do you think I like my body parts falling off and my skin rotting? Do you? I know that this is our penance, Dr. Kerr,
Symmetra said.
We should have died in the war. Life is punishing us for our sins, for our involvement in that senseless conflict. We can only deal with what we are.
The bad ghoul sighed.
Please, Dr. Kerr, I've seen enough death already to know that I don't want to see any more of it, I said. You have an opportunity to do the right thing here. Please, please help us.
The ghoul dropped his head to the table, moaning as he clutched it with his tattered hoofs.
Punishment, penance, death, I'm so sick of it, Radiant Star. I regret every one of my fallen brothers, and it kills me to use these poor mindless fallen as shock troops.
Red Death straightened, waving his hoofs angrily.
The right thing is to cure my condition, to cure all of us. And I can't make any sort of progress in this sort of environment. I just want to be left alone to do my work.
Then do better, I said. Be better. Help us. You don't have to be the bad guy. You can do the right thing.
I will help you, he said. But not because I want to, not because it's the right thing, but because I want something from you if I'm to let you go.
What is it? I said. Nothing gross like a pony brain or something, I hope.
The Pegasus shook his head.
No, there's a portion of this hospital that I can't get into. The morgue. The door is locked tightly by a security system. Inside of it is enough unspoiled tissue for me to continue my experiments unfettered.
He said.
Help me and I will allow you and Dr. Rott to leave.
We'll do it, Symmetra said.
And the raids on the expeditions?
Red Death sighed.
I won't attack your little groups if that's what you're asking, he said. I am a civilized stallion after all. All I will request in return is that you stay away from this part of the hospital. This is my domain and I will not have any pony interrupting my experiments.
Symmetra narrowed his eyes at the doctor but nodded all the same. Red Death nodded in return and motioned to one of his guards.
Retrieve Dr. Rott and bring him here. As a sign of good faith, I will allow him to go with you.
The ghoul left the room. Red picked up a device from the table, passing it over to me. It was a broadcaster designed to go into a pipback.
What is this? I said.
This will let you contact me to let me know that the mark is accessible. Use it when you've opened the place and you're free to go.
Red replied. He waved his hoof and the guards hovering over my friends scattered instantly. The door opened again, revealing the ghoul guard from before and a grizzled unicorn ghoul. He looked at me and Symmetra, blinking.
"This some kind of joke?" he said, grunting. "Symmetra, Ikris Sludge sent you."
Yes, sir, Dr. Rott,
Symmetra said. The unicorn grunted again.
"Right then, Red,"
he said. The Pegasus turned, meeting the unicorn's gaze.
"I'll be in touch. We can make this happen, I know we can."
"Wait, you're actually working with him?"
I said, feeling very confused. Dryrot glanced over at me.
"Who are you?"
he said. I grinned sheepishly.
I'm Radiant Star. I came here to see if you could help my friend. You see, she's pregnant and..."
I started to say. Dryrot raised a hoof.
"I'll look at your friend for a moderate fee, of course,"
he said.
"This one is to open the mark for us, Rot,"
Red Death interjected.
"You'll go with them to the mark and get back to the town."
"What about you?"
Dryrot inquired. The Pegasus motioned to the other ghouls in the room.
"I can't leave, you know that. I have to help these unfortunate souls. It's sheer luck that the colors shave off their base urges, you know that. I need what is in the mark to continue my work,"
he said. Dryrot sighed.
"All right, Red, but I will be back to help and to visit. It's not healthy to stay alone all the time,"
he said, looking over at us.
"So, where to?"
"I guess we need to find the mark," I said. "Doctor, do you know where that is? I'm fairly new here after all."
Red Death nodded, motioning to my pipback, which beeped softly as it picked up a new marker.
"I've sent the marker to your pipback," he said. "Again, once you find it and open it, then just send a message on the broadcaster."
I nodded, turning to follow the others out of the director's office. I breathed a sigh of relief, hoping that we were doing the right thing. I didn't want for Red to be a problem. I'd had enough of Manicure masterminds for several weeks. I hoped that letting the Pegasus ghoul to his own devices would actually do some good rather than harm. I sighed as we started down the hallway back towards the stairs. All we had to do was get into a morgue. What could go wrong with that?